Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Northern Nerdcast. I'm Brad, and joining me, as always, is Adam. Thanks for coming back. How's the long weekend been for you so far?
Good. We've been keeping busy over here. Actually, I just got my hair cut today. That was nice coming out of our post-pandemic thing here in Ontario. So we're going. It's nice to kind of see some things get back to normal here. Everybody's still respectfully keeping their distances and slowly getting our vaccinations. But again, everybody's staying safe, but finally getting out there and having more fun. Family got to the beach, went to the camp, dined at a restaurant, we could have dined indoors, but you know what? Beautiful weather. We're happy to go outdoors again, sit on a patio, and just, again, observe some of those things we've all kind of probably taken for granted in the last year. Even going into a thrift shop, I've got a couple things to show eventually here. That I was able to find in the last month, and just something that have not been able to go out and do for quite a while.
Yeah, it's crazy, like what you said about it, like you don't realize just how much advantage of stuff we've taken for granted until you get shut down, and it's like, man, I want to go eat all we can. Or like, I mean, takeout's great. And I was very happy that a lot of the restaurants up here were doing takeout. And now with like the restrictions, but before that, patios, and like not every place was doing it. They had patios, but I guess they just wanted to stick with the takeout so that they didn't have to potentially be the cause of another outbreak or something. But I've picked up quite a bit of stuff, which I'll show too. I mean, I'm not gonna start showing stuff when we're chatting with like David or Katie or anybody like that. But it's been pretty constant with the recordings, and I wanted to get something this weekend. I mean, it's still technically the weekend, but I ended up going to camp and all that stuff. So it's I came home early because I wanted to do this, and but I mean, it's a very poorly kept secret at this point, but we're going ahead with the sixth annual. Technically this is the seventh year, but we skipped over an entire year for both North Bay and Sudbury shows. But October 17th, we're going to be back at the Caruso Club for Northern Game Expo 6. It's going to be more of a back to basics. I know you didn't come out to the first one, but this one's going to be more of just the swap feel. Not that we don't think that we could pull it off. I mean, our reputation precedes who we are, but we're basically starting from scratch. Like this is like Jay and Silent Bob reboot kind of thing, where it's not really a sequel. It's not a reboot, but it's like kind of both. And unfortunately, like 50% of it's out of pocket right now. So it's like a lot of people are saying, oh, you need a bigger hall. We need more vendors. It's like, well, the Caruso Club right now, they're like, as of right now, they're only allowing 200 people in. And like, yeah, we could get a bigger hall, but how many people, like what's bigger? The college itself isn't taking any bookings until January at the very earliest next year. The arena was $220 an hour. So like the Caruso Club makes the most sense for the reboot, but yeah, it's going to be on the first, like the upper level. I don't know if you've been to the Caruso Club before, and like not for our event, but just in general. It's a fair size. We're going to have a booth where we're going to be situated probably right like in the main lobby. So when people are waiting, I was thinking maybe we could like do a live like chat with people, like, hey, you got like 30 seconds, come tell us what you think about the expo, and then we'll put a video together or something. But I'm really excited. I don't want October to come just yet, because we have a couple things that we're doing. My partner for Northern Game Expo and I, we're going to be going to Toronto in 2 weeks, just to see some of the vendors. We're going to go see Bobby. We're going to go see Kamal, Kevin from Power Up Gaming. We got to get out. Quebec's great. But I don't know anybody in Quebec, and like, I know all these guys. So we're just going to go and say hey. And I know Mike's really looking forward to his chicken wings. There's this really good place just near his aunt's place. It's called 244. I don't know why they call it that, because you don't get there's no deals. But these are like the most amazing chicken wings, and they're better the next day cold. I don't know what it is about these chicken wings. I'm just smiling thinking about it, but it's breakfast the next day. And just a little side story about these wings. We were so wanting them. The last time we were in Toronto, we went to EGLX, which is the largest video game show in Canada. And we went out of our way to this chicken wing place. Mike placed an order ahead of time. And I think we ordered like 300 chicken wings, and there was four of us. I didn't eat that many, but the order was so big. There was a lineup of people outside yelling at these people because of this giant order of chicken wings. So Mike goes in, and very quietly, because he hears all these people getting mad that their food's not ready yet, very quietly says, "Hi, I'm Mike Shanks. I'm here for my 300 chicken wings." And like, he had to, like, it's not a seedy part of Toronto. It's not like, it's not one of those areas, but it's not like, I wouldn't be saying, "Hey, I'm here to pick up my chicken wings," really loud, especially when it's a little restaurant, but it's so good. But anyways, back to the subject at hand. What have you been playing? I know you've been playing Ninja Turtles, but like, let's run through it.
Yeah, no, so my son and I, oldest son, we've been playing a lot of Minecraft Dungeons here, and this has been ongoing, but this past week they released basically the last major DLC for it, The Void. And like, the main storyline is kind of culminating here in the DLC. You can play through the major story and be done, but the expansion's done a good task at kind of tying it in, kind of the way like Diablo 2 had the extra level there, bringing in the extra character and kind of extending it, but you could still do Diablo 2 without it. Well, again, in that style of Diablo 2, this is a dungeon crawler, and it's fun. We can play all four players on TV, so usually me and my two boys play it, and we've been having a good time. Like I said, now we're starting that void thing, so you have to go through some of the same maps. They've run a generalized update here where you have to go through and get some of the Ender Pearls in order to then unlock the level itself. So it forces you to play through some of the same levels over again and re-explore them, because they've added on extra parts of the map that weren't there before, in order to then, like I say, get the Ender Pearls, get to the end, and then go through and play that extra map. So pretty cool. And all the updates always provide, whether or not you're going to play the actual DLC, they put a generalized update to give you extra skins, weapons, upgrades, new skill sets, etc. So it's always good time. So we've been really getting into that this past week here.
Nice. I've actually been probably over dipping. You had talked a while ago about the creator of 1080 Degrees making a new game on the VR. So I went and bought it, and it's an amazing game. Like this is so much fun. But if you have like, not vertigo, but if you're motion sickness, you are not going to like this game. Like, you don't have to stand like a snowboard, like you're snowboarding. But if you want that full experience, you have to, and you control your board with the Joy-Cons or the remotes. So like, if you're doing tricks and stuff, you actually have to lean forward and grab your board and pull back. And it's so much fun. Like I said, it's definitely not for the faint of heart. There's a lot of levels where you're like snowboarding down like sheer cliff. But you can warm up in your chalet in between snowboarding sessions. You got a little dog there that wags its tail at you. And there's like a Nerf gun kind of thing that you can fire balls all over the room. I don't really know why. I guess it's just for reasons. But I picked up Chris Tales. This game It's my camera lighting's really bad, but it's on every single system. I just picked it up on the Switch because just the portability. I haven't been able to put it down, dude. Like, I think if you've ever played Chrono Trigger, Mario RPG, Mario and Luigi, or Paper Mario series, it's those two combined. It's the time traveling aspect of Chrono Trigger with the battle system of the Mario RPG series, where you time your attacks to get a boost. You would time your block to defend. And then the time travel, it's weird how they do it, but at the same time, it's amazing because it's like a 2.5D game. But basically, you're a princess, or, well, I'm assuming she's a princess because you see her picture on every mural in the church. But anyways, you get trapped in this kind of triangle. So on your left-hand side is the past, the center is present, and the right-hand side is the future. So you get to see what each town looks like within your triangle. And your decisions, it's like a decision thing, kind of like Fable, where you pick one faction over the other, and this is what happens to the town, or this is what happens to the church that you're trying to help, or whatever. I would recommend, wait for a price drop, because it's for $59, it's still a little bit pricey. It is a long game. It's about 35 hours, 50 if you do like all the side quests and stuff, but that's beautiful game. And like, it's fully voiced. So like, you walk up to somebody and like the text will pop up, it says hello, and they say hello. So it's not like some of those RPGs where you get half text, half voice through the cutscenes. But it's a lot of fun. And then I don't have the case with me, but I've been playing the new Shining on the Switch, Resonance Refrain. It's more of an action RPG, but if you're a fan of the Shining series, you know what the series is about. That's what I've been playing.
Is that one pretty big too?
What's that?
Is that one pretty big too, like for hours wise? Like,
it's around 60, so it's a fair size for like not like games of old, like Lunar and stuff, where you could sink 200 hours, with The Witcher 3, where you could sink 400. I'd say it's a modest time. And then I also picked up the new Paper Mario, which I'm not crazy about it, because I'm not really liking the battle system, but I guess Nintendo's got to reinvent the wheel with Mario, Paper Mario. So
yeah, I guess probably try something different. That Chris Tales, I mean, you know, to say it's like a Mario RPG / Chrono Trigger, like that's worthy praise by all means. I didn't play Chrono Trigger, like I'd always heard of it and heard of what a masterpiece, but I didn't play it until probably 6-7 years ago. I had a DS copy, so when my son was young, I was just kind of, you know, between like diaper change and stuff, trying to like pound in some time there, and finally got through back to the end there, and like, wow, like what a trip. Like, I mean, yeah, like you're really going all over the place. So to hear something again kind of in that vein, like the time travel aspect's always awesome. And you know, even just with Chrono Trigger, just the familiarity, going to a place and then going back again and seeing that it's changed because of something that happened in the past, and you know, things like that, was definitely cool. So like, yeah, the RPGs are always fun. Like, you know, if you can really build up a team and build up a skill set and things like that, it's always fun.
And they say that like it's a love letter to classic JRPGs, and true to JRPG fashion, there are some of those annoying characters where it's just like, why do you have that voice? Like, it's there, and there's always one or two, and like that's one of the drawbacks for me. Like, it's not enough to put the game away and say I'm not playing this anymore, because I've played worse games with worse voice acting and stuff and finished them through. So I would definitely recommend picking it up. It's probably the best played on the Switch. The load times on the Switch are a little bit longer than like PS4, PS5, Xbox, all that stuff, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. So
that's what I always think about some of those too. If you're not gonna, if it's really a game about sprawling you know, like a JRPG, like top down type of perspective. Graphically, like, you know, if you were going to go back and play the original Final Fantasy, I'm not going to compare one to one here with this new game, but like, you don't have to have the best 4K experience for something like that with a top down and a big map. Like, however, portability would mean a lot. You know what I mean? If you're going to sit and do a grind and you can sit comfortably on the couch or lay in bed or something like that, that makes a big difference, I think, for games like that. That's why, like I said, I loved Chrono Trigger in the DS format, because I could actually go through and pound through levels. And even if we were going for a car ride, like, honey, you're driving, and sit there and just, like, you know, get into it. Like, because you can. And like I said, like, even if it's like trying to put my son to sleep or something, like quietly, like just moving around a map. Like, I always liked the portability, and that's why I really got into like the whole 3DS games and release when that came out. So RPGs, I find, are really fantastic for that.
Yeah, the like, again, I'll just jump back into this before we talk about something else, but another real cool thing in the battle system is one of your, like, your main character can split time. So if you're fighting like a real hard enemy that's in the past, you can actually cut the, you can cut the what's it called, hold on a second, I've got it up here, I can't even read it right now. You can invoke your crystals. So there's a past crystal and a future crystal. So if you have a super hard enemy, like, it doesn't work on bosses, but if you have a super hard enemy that's in the past and you invoke the past crystal, you basically turn them into a kid, like a kid version of themselves. So they're weaker. And the same thing goes with spells. If you have a character set like a poison plant in the future and you invoke the future crystal, it speeds up time in the future. So the poison has already taken effect. And then your present day attacks can do more damage on the future version of the enemy you fight. It's really hard to explain, but when you play it, it's and then you can also cut the invoke, so it brings them back into the future, but not like far into the future. It's like future, but not, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like, and then you can combine water and lightning attacks, so that like, if a character is soaking wet from a water bubble attack, the lightning will hurt the entire enemies that are in that line. So it's really, really well done.
It makes you want to, like you said, there's more to the battle system than just like click fight and then just hope for a critical. Like, you can actually roll out attacks in sequence and watch for damage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So, and then I also, another one I picked up that I'm not really sold on it, and we had talked about this before, but The Third Birthday on the PSP, it's kind of a sequel / reboot of Parasite Eve. It's more of a collector's item at this point. Like, I might play it once in a while, but it's taking over somebody else's body while you're in a game. And then when you're about to die, you transfer into another person's body. It's not really for me. So it's a very nice case. It's nice and shiny, so it'll look nice on my shelf. So,
no, again, some of those, especially nowadays, like, if you can get it for a decent go, definitely pick those up, because PSP is only going up, and now again with the closure of the eShop and everything, that's all been rising. So always nice to grab those titles for sure. One title I got recently for, surprisingly, it was relatively cheap as far as new games go, is that Game Builder Garage. And so my son had seen some of this on YouTube and stuff and was really expressing an interest. He did like playing like the Mario build games, where you get to make your own Mario Maker, where you make some of your own maps and stuff. So this just really puts it to that next extension, where you can build like platforming games, but you can build like shooters, you can build like driving, like racing games and stuff. So really a lot you can do. And the way they did it, like the intuitiveness of how you code it, like choose like, okay, here's your left stick. So when you go left on the left stick, you're going to, what do you want to do? Fire, jump? Can actually assign all the different aspects. So, but the one thing is, especially on YouTube, a lot of people have been putting out different code. Like, you can't, unfortunately, they don't have a good search menu yet. But if you have a code, you can type in different people's games and,
oh, nice.
And download them to your console. So a lot of people on YouTube have been re-mimicking things. And the one thing you can do also is kind of, you can't upload, but you can design your own sprites. So some people have been artistically recreating like Mario Kart on the SNES and things like that for fun. But one thing was for my son, what really excited him was the Friday Night Funkin', the Flash game that's like rhythm based. Mm-hmm. So some people took that, uploaded the music and uploaded basically the sprites and was able to create Friday Night Funkin' on there. So we downloaded the version of that and checked it out. And then there's other just generic Minecraft, or someone made basically like a Legend of Zelda, the original Legend of Zelda, but in 3D, made a portion of a map like that. So you're going around seeing like the Octoroks and looking at it from a third person perspective. So some really neat stuff coming out of here. Again, searching it is not the easiest, but it's it really gives you the tools to do a lot of cool stuff. And again, if people can get their stuff promoted out on YouTube and stuff, yeah, like that,
for sure.
It's not so far, like really your searching has to be done off console. And if you can manage that, you can definitely find some cool games and stuff. So that alone makes it a unique purchase. But I like the idea that it's getting the kids learning about coding and getting into something a little bit different.
For sure. Two games. It's the same game. But when we made our, like after the border had just opened, we made our first trip to Rouen. And before we went, I just looked online to see what game stores were around, and like for a small town, well, the size of North Bay, but they actually had quite a few game shops. But like as soon as you get into town, you see Walmart. So I'm like, you know, we had to go get some stuff. So I'm like, I'll pop into the electronics section and walking along, and I had to do a double take because I was like, is this what I think it is? And I go back, and yeah, so this game, I don't know why, but it is like one of the hardest games to find right now. So they had three copies. I grabbed one at the time. I'm regretting that decision now, but happy life, happy wife. She's like, no, you only need one. I said, no, I should probably grab all three right now because these sell sealed for between 140 and 200 bucks. And she's like, well, you're like, when are you going to have time to sell that? I said, well, it's not a matter of when, like it will get sold. So anyways, settled on the one for the time being. And then she's thinking about it on the way back, and I can see that it's bugging her. She's like, yeah, we should have got the other ones. I said, yeah, you think? So we went back to Quebec 2 weeks later, and they only had one other copy. It's the one that I had hid because I had a feeling I was going to go, but I guess somebody found the other one. So I have a copy. My buddy Mike has a copy. And I told him that if I came across any, I had a long list of people that were, when I shared the picture, they're like, oh, get me one. Mike and I have this unwritten agreement, sorry Glenn, that if we come across anything that we think the other person's interested in, they'll get first dibs. And that's how it's always been. That's been like that since I've known him. So I think it would be kind of a slap in his face if I just went to somebody else and said, hey, you know, like, this is 200 bucks. I know that I could get the money for it, but that's just the kind of friendship we have. Is it's an unwritten rule. So there was that. And I also picked up Ghost Runner on the Switch, which I don't know why I get games like this that punish me. Like I stopped playing the one on, that's the same game, but the one on PC. And then I go and buy this one. It's the exact same game, same hard levels. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. But like we're really excited to be going to Toronto. Like I said, Mike's got it mapped out. Like we're gonna go hit the usual stores, and but he's checking a bunch of flea markets and stuff. So we're gonna go for a couple of days and hopefully get enough decent stuff that we can put at a table or something at the show. But I'm just so happy that as of right now everything's on the up and up. There's fears that the Delta variant is, I guess, gonna cause a fourth wave, but from what I was reading is it doesn't have as much of effect on fully vaccinated people. But this isn't the platform for that kind of stuff. But I mean, we'll see what happens. We have announced the show, like I said, so I'm hoping that a couple other shows get started up. It would be nice to go and see not just the show organizers, but some of the people that are on my waiting list right now. Like when we had to cancel, unfortunately, last year, rightfully so, people were worried that they wouldn't be able to, we wouldn't have a show this year. So they asked for their money back, and that's totally respectable for us to do that. And, but now, of course, because everything's going on, all the people that canceled want back in. And it's like, cause we're following COVID procedures and all that, like Crusoe Club, it has a mask mandate. So for whoever's watching this, masks are mandatory. And it's not about, well, I have a medical condition. That's not our rules. This is the Crusoe Club's rules. So if you have a problem with that, you have to talk with the Crusoe Club. We're following all of the procedures that are set place by them. If I didn't have to wear a mask, I wouldn't, because it's not that I'm scared. I respect what people have set forth. I wear one at work. It sucks. It's hot to breathe, but maybe this will be a start to getting back to some kind of normal. And I know down in your neck of the woods, it's tentative. I guess they're just waiting to hear if they can fully go through with it before they take the bookings and stuff. But it's a positive thing for shows. So it's just, I hope that, we're 10 weeks away from ours ish, 10-ish weeks. So yep. I'm hoping that it stays the same.
No, that 100%. I mean, I've been trying to see what's going on, like, especially with our friends south of us, like in the States. And I know, like, Michigan, some people, Ohio, been going to conventions. And because the CDC has said if you double vaccinated, you don't need a mask at all. And like Ontario, we're still, you can't go into a grocery store or whatever without, right? So, like, you have to wear a mask. So we're still, everybody's doing their own thing. So we're just going with the rules we're given to, and everybody trying to just be respectful of them, and just be happy that we're getting back to where we are, like getting back to, like you said, a convention. You got to wear a mask, then we got to wear a mask, like, you know, but is it going to be worth it? Yeah. What's the alternative? Wait another year? Like, you know, I've saw even one convention, YouTuber John Riggs was sharing it. I don't remember which convention, but I know it was in Washington State, and they basically said, like, listen, the way things are going right now, we are going to initiate a mask policy. And their convention, I think, is probably 2 or 3 weeks out, and they're actually stating, like, you have to wear a mask now at their place. And that's not one that's like state mandated or whatever, but they're saying that, again, like you said, it seems like nobody's unsure yet of, like, the Delta variant and what it's looking like, and people vaccinated and still getting it, etc. So, you know, if you want to politic for, like you said, this isn't the place to do it. That's not what we're trying to say. We're just saying, hey, the good things come in. We're all hoping for the best here. We're everybody's happy and excited to try and get, you know, some fun in front of everybody. And, you know, I'd be more than happy to come up from the Sioux to go to the convention and check it out. And, you know, we're really, really excited, like you said, just to be able to do this again. So but under any circumstance.
And it's about time. Like for us, like the last show we did was in September 2019, and that was in North Bay. And we had everything set. Like were you on the one we did with Robin a couple months ago? I think you were. There was five of us, I think, but where like it just put everything at a halt, and like we had pushed it and everything. And it's almost been almost 2 years. Like if you go by October, like it's like from when we did the first show, but it's just shaking off the ring rust. Like the response from everybody's been incredible. Like it's just that announcement again, not talking like certain trigger words like contests and stuff, like just announcing the show, the Nerdcast page, the Facebook page, personal and everything, I think it's been shared close to 300 times. So there's definitely people are excited. Do I expect pushback from like what we had just talked about? Absolutely. But again, that's not my control. that's something that Crusoe has said to me in an email, that unless the government says, which Ford said that they're not, this new phase, they're not taking off the mask mandate. So, I mean, it is what it is. If something happens, there's supposed to be an announcement in 4 days-ish. Where they're expected to say that indoor activities can now be, I think, 50% capacity. The Crusoe Club can hold 800 people, standing room. So 400 people, like say 300, because you've got vendors plus, they're plus one. So roughly 95 people just vending alone. I'm happy with that at 50%. Like 20% would have been a little bit difficult, only allowing like, or whatever it was, 200 people. That would have been difficult. We would have made it work, but I'm just excited. And getting into the next point, like with shows and stuff seemingly getting all the green lights, is there anything that you yourself or your kids or anything are going to be on the lookout for? Let's talk about that.
I always love finding like the oddball stuff. Like I know from Robin again, specific, like I got at one of your last shows there, grabbed like Batman and Robin, Adventures of Batman and Robin for Sega CD. And again, like nothing, you just like walk around or go to a yard sale and be like, sweet, Sega CD games, you know. And even I know, like with Bobby, I grabbed I know I got a Sega Genesis cart, but I also grabbed a TurboGrafx-16 game off him, Hit the Ice. And again, like, you know, just, I love getting like all the extra stuff I can't. It's those like one-offs, getting 32X, Sega CD. I got like Scramble for the Vectrex, like just like random games like that, that you don't see unless you go to these shows. That's what makes them so unique. Suddenly going there and seeing like a Sega Master System box, like, you know what I mean? Like if you, every once in a while, like even if you go to like a grand yard sale or a thrift shop, you'll find NES or SNES or a Genesis game or something. More than likely you're going to find PS3 and 360 and, you know, a lot more common stuff, but, or more modern, but, you know, if you're going to find retro, that's what you're going to find. And then all of a sudden you go to like a show like yours and it's like, there's 3DO games here, you know, there's, you know, like you find like all that extra stuff. So if I can find some more stuff to build up, like Saturn, CD, Sega CD, 32X, Dreamcast, TurboGraf, like any of the other systems besides just Nintendo, and like God knows love Nintendo, you know, actually if I can find more for the Virtual Boy stuff too, I would, again, all those types of things, that's what I would love to find.
Well, when we go to Toronto, I'll take a look and see if I can find any Virtual Boy. Just give me a list of what you're looking for, and we'll see. Like I'm just telling you right now, I know stores like ANC Games and all those will have Virtual Boy stuff, but I'm not spending like eBay prices here on this stuff. But yeah, I'll definitely take a look. And if it's something that you're interested in, we can talk about that off camera. But, for me, I sold half of my collection, which was a real stupid idea a couple of years ago. I just, when we were in Sudbury, like, not because I needed the money. It's just like, I looked at a lot of the stuff and I'm like, I'm probably not going to play this. And now it's like, I've got that itch and like, I'm not ever going to go for the same kind of collection that I had. Like I had a lot of games. So like, not like Sid Bolton where he's got like every single title of every single game, yeah. But, or almost, but, I'm looking for like PSP, Vita. Cause right. Like, Vita's in that kind of weird spot right now where it's, the store is still available, but the prices for physical are insane. Like I was just kicking on like between Game Value Now and price charting for a lot of my Vita stuff. And like, just for example, like East 8 is like $100.
That's wild.
I mean, I spent 59 or whatever on it plus tax, but like, they all go down and then they go up. It's like stock markets. Tales of Hearts R is the same price. Shovel Knight, which I have sealed thanks to a vendor who unfortunately moved. So, but it's sealed, and a bunch of people are like, oh, you should get it graded. I'm not getting it graded. I to each their own. I think grading is like, I don't know, stupid. I might get that one, just that one graded, because it's one of those titles that it's the most valuable on the Vita. But it's the original Shovel Knight, not the Treasure Trove. But yeah, I'm looking for stuff like that. And then we're also, like I said, we're gonna have a table set up for the Nerd Chat, Nerdcast, whatever you want to call it. I'd like to increase the subscriber base. Hoping to have a couple more interviews locked down. Actually, I did want to show this off. I know you saw it, and I showed Katie the photo of it, but I finally got it in. So I'm hoping that she can pass the message on to all the other cast members that I've reached out to, all of them. It'd be cool to chat with them, and that's just what I do. Like what we did with her and David, where like they gave a shout out to Rob, and Rob's such a good guy with stuff like normally these originals cost like 90-100 bucks, but like if he's happy just getting a shout out from them promoting his page. I'm hoping that we can get a couple more of the Resident Evil cast on. I have reached out to like even the DC Douglas, who voices Wesker in the series, and then he voiced him also in the Marvel versus Capcom games. So yeah, like, but that's like awesome. Like when you think of Wesker, it's like almost like Kefka, but for like a horror game.
Yeah.
And then lesser extent Resident Evil 5, which was more of your action style game, but like I've seen a couple of his videos that he posts on Instagram. The guy is funny as hell, man. Like just to chat with him would be pretty cool. But that's my plan going forth with anybody I interview is to have Rob do an original print of either themselves or the character that they've played. I think that they find more of a connection when it's a personalized zombie picture of themselves. But in David's case, I mean, he essentially is Agent 47. Like it was modeled after him. Yeah. So. But that's where I'm at with the expo is what I'm looking for. But I also cool news to share. I know I did share this with you and Clayton before, but the city of Barrie reached out to me, and they want us. We can't be there physically, but they want to use the channel. I'm going to see if I can get your channel put in there as well to be part of their Game On thing, which is from September 1st to the 18th. So that's why I'm hoping to build a couple more interviews into this. It's just more of a repertoire. We're also going to be talking with Jamie this week, which I'm really excited about. For those of you who don't know who Jamie Perrant is, he works for Raven Studios, Ravensoft. It's gone through a couple name changes. Essentially what he does is I can't remember how he described it, but he creates the tools to help design the game. So when we chat with him, I want to find out exactly what that is, but he's the only Canadian able to work from Sudbury for the company that's in, I think, Santa Monica or wherever their studio is. But like he oversees the design of the game, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that. He came and did a panel at the fifth show, and then he chatted with the ITG guys. But just to be able to chat with him, just to pick his brain on what exactly like he does and what goes into making this, because arguably Call of Duty is probably the series itself is one of the biggest. Yeah. Not just first person shooters, but biggest franchises around.
I was gonna say generalized franchises, absolutely. Absolutely. Whether or not like you're huge on the first person shooters, like A, you know it, and B, like everybody's played them in some capacity.
If you don't know it, you know it.
Yeah, exactly.
So But yeah, it'll be a lot of fun chatting with him. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be at some point this week. I just have to lock down a date with him because he's really busy with some of the behind the scenes stuff that's going on. So it's just a matter of locking him down. Not a matter of if, because he said he'll do it, but when. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. And I don't really have anything else to touch base on. Clayton missed out. I guess he was going to jump on, but
yeah, that's long weekends. That's long weekends. I wanted to point here today was really quickly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hey, take your time, man. I'm losing my voice, so I'm talked out.
No, I was going to say, I'm sure I got to get upstairs and see my kids to bed soon, but some last PC thrift things I got. This was Riven, sequel to Myst.
Yep.
Found this was a 5-discer, so very excited to get that. Recently I started to get more back into the old PC days, because I don't know if you were at all like me, but like when it got into that like late 90s, everybody was really starting to transition. PCs were really coming alive. Everybody was starting to actually take ownership of one in their household, and the games were starting to really flow. So starting to get back into that and finding some of those old games. I found this one, Where in the World's Carmen Sandiego? So again, finding a computer that'll support that is another thing. Fortunately, I've got like kind of an older beast on hand. So really looking forward to seeing that one, and even showing my kids, because again, it's edutainment, you know, you get to learn different places and maps of the world and parts of history. But it was always masked so well, like to go from place to place. And I remember as a kid playing that on like the big floppies. So again, really excited for that one. This one I literally got today. Buddy Jordan, who used to come out to some of the games when I would host locally here in the Sioux, retro game nights at the local library. I met Jordan through there. So he reached out to me, said, hey, I got a whole bin of controllers, cables and stuff that I'm going to put to thrift. Do you want to go through it? And I said, well, yeah, like, let me definitely take a look. So one thing I found in there that I didn't even know this existed was, and again, until I got like basically this box home and went through it, was this is Panzer Dragoon, and it's for the PC.
Wow.
I didn't know they actually ported this. I thought this was only a Sega Saturn thing. Of course, they had a recent re-release for like
limited Switch, run.
Limited run, put it back out on Switch and stuff like that. But this is Sega Entertainment, 1995, going for Windows 95 support. And it's straight up, it's Panzer Dragoon. So you'd use a mouse and do that, you know, on rail shooting and go around. I thought that was wacky. I haven't yet had a chance to try it, because like I said, I literally just found this about an hour or so ago.
That's crazy. It's nice finding those things that you never thought existed.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, I have to actually do some digging into it to see how and why it came to fruition. But, yeah, like I said, it's part of the Sega PC collection, it says here. So I'm definitely interested in looking into that.
That'll make a good episode on your channel. Like, it's especially if you do the research for it. Just while we're on the subject, where can people find you, since you do that as well?
I'm over on my channel on youtube.com/SvennyMcG, and the same thing, you can look Svenny McG on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and even a little bit on TikTok. You'll find mostly it's just some shorts, but it's I've been trying to put out some YouTube shorts in order to just a lot of like cheat codes and some unique pieces that I find on games. And really, I've been chasing down my major thing. Another major thing going back to the conventions, things I like to find is always peripherals. I love finding like video game mice. At one of your last conventions, the last one you had at the university there, I was able to recapture a power pad, something I hadn't had for years. So again, just things like that. I love different peripherals. And that's what you see a lot of on my channel, is going through different aspects like that. Not necessarily full gameplay, but just items.
So speaking of peripherals, before I rudely interrupted you, continue your story about like after Panzer, because you had said you had gotten a box of controllers and you showed me a picture, but all I saw was cords. So
No. Yeah, I actually just started going through it, so I have to go through and dig it out. I found a really unique piece. I'm going to leave it as a little bit of a mystery, and I'll try and get the video out soon. But it is a PSP piece that I never even knew existed. And a lot of the stuff I've done on the PSP, people recently really started to like again, because everyone's talking PSP and collecting and getting those games and getting those pieces simply because of the eShop and everything. So this is a peripheral for it. But again, one I just thought was a really fun, unique piece that, again, he said that he had and he's willing to part with. So I thank him for it. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to showcasing that. And then again, inside there, like, there was a lot of other controllers. I saw a Nyko one for the Xbox that had a fan built into it to keep your hands cool. Like, it was really cool stuff he had there. So I'm really looking forward to showing that to a lot of people.
That's awesome. I definitely look forward to seeing those. I see, like, your shorts, I will check out, because, like, it's just a brief clip. The Addams Family and stuff like that, not that it doesn't do anything for me, it's just I don't even like, I watched the movie and like the TV show from the 90s, but I don't think I've ever played a game, so it's like, it's not something for me, but like, just to get that additional view, I check them out. Like, it's you put out good content, so
I appreciate that. No, I know, especially with some of those, they're going to be a little hit and miss. Like, I was Aladdin for Sega Genesis. I know people a little more experienced with Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Blades of Steel. So some games like that usually strike a chord with people a little bit more. And every once in a while, I'll just throw a one-off out there, especially if it's got something kind of unique to it. So
nice. Well, we'll wrap that up here. And again, thanks for coming on and just chatting. It was we had a totally different episode planned, but things happened, and I mean, we'll definitely do that one once Clayton's available. And as soon as I have a date from Jamie, it'll be after 7 o'clock, once he literally is a farmer. So with the summertime, he only has, he stops work once the sun goes down. So he said he's got to take advantage of those long days, because it is starting to get dark again. But we will pick this back up with Jamie. Again, Adam, thanks for coming on. And yeah, we'll definitely have fun again.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good talking with you, Brad.
Take care, man.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.